Well, I think the impossible happened. I did not think that anyone could have bigger eyes than Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
But what's her name? Ella Purnell plays Lucy. I've never seen eyes that massive.
She looks like a marionette.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's beautiful.
I heard they actually did surgery around her eyes to actually make them larger than what they actually are.
Perfect. Way to commit to the role.
I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
Is that serious?
No.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Welcome to Cast with No Name. We're your hosts. I'm Jay.
I'm Matt.
I'm Coop.
This is episode 93. This episode, we explore the wasteland as we review and discuss Amazon's new radioactive show, Fallout. But first, don't forget to visit our YouTube channel at A Cast with No Name. There, to where you can listen to our entire episode library. You can comment on episodes and write to our email. And you can also find us on Apple and Spotify. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. And if you do, please leave us a like, subscribe, or comment, or whatever. It helps the show find new listeners.
Yeah.
Fallout.
We all watched it.
Yes.
First impressions, Coop.
Loved it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole, from beginning to end, all the story arcs, the characters were all great. Just all around.
What stood out to you the most?
The world. Yeah. And actually, I had a question for you while I was watching it. So when you were watching it, how close to the vault was that, like, how close to living in a submarine was that like to being in a vault?
Oh, to being in a vault?
Yeah.
Not even close.
No.
The vaults look pretty sweet. Submarines, not so much.
Way worse.
You guys didn't have patio furniture outside of your dorm?
Nah, we didn't have a cornfield with a projector of Iowa in the background.
No, nothing like that.
Yeah, we didn't have our own bathtubs and beds and, you know, food. And
everybody shared the same one.
Everybody,
300 people.
13 guys and a, you know, 10 by 18 foot room.
You're going to marry off some of your seamen to like other neighboring submarines? And
No, we just piled on top of each other, sweated.
There's a lot of sweating going on.
There was a lot of, you know, just a lot of love.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Stereotypes exist for a reason, I suppose.
But no, it's not like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Nah, it's a little more cramped.
Yeah.
I would say. A lot of butt to butt contact, butt to front,
ass to ass.
Yeah.
Is that true that there's a height requirement?
There isn't. No. One of the electrical operators that we had on the boat was 6'7".
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did everyone hate him because he took up more room?
He was actually one of the best. He was one of the nicest guys on the boat. Everyone loved him.
Yeah. They had to be. They'd throw him overboard in a second.
But no, there isn't. But I mean, I'm sure there would be. Like, I don't think they would allow a 7'4" dude like David Robinson. Like, I want to join the submarines. No, it's probably not the best idea for you. Because the bunk itself, if you're to sleep on a bunk, I only think it's like 6'7". I think Mike was his name on the boat. I think he literally, when he would sleep, his feet would touch and his head would touch the...
Didn't even have a cot. He just kind of like flexed a little bit.
A little bit. He probably had a curl.
Horizontal, like the Exorcist.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, so you like the world?
Yeah, I like the
Let's stop talking about...
The summer. This is
time in the Navy.
This isn't a Navy podcast, right? It's a movie podcast. But yeah, I like the way the vaults were constructed... with like the key, they had it worked out with like the key masters and the kind of the hierarchy inside. And then when they went outside the world, I thought it was awesome how it was kind of, you know, I like old Westerns and stuff. And that's pretty much what the world is now. And in Fallout, it's basically the Wild West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you played the video games at all?
No.
No? Did you ever play the
video? I did.
You did?
But I forgot a lot about it.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I played the video games. I didn't think I forgot a lot about it, except everyone was talking about these references that popped up in the show. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I forgot a lot about it. But, I mean, the references I picked up, it was more just in general to video games or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that I just completely glossed over. I wasn't sitting there like Leonardo DiCaprio's meme of pointing at the screen. But yeah, because it, I mean, it'd been...
I've never seen that meme.
10 years.
What?
Never seen that.
Yeah, it's from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. When he's like snapping his fingers, like pointing at the screen. Like, when he comes on in the show that he was...
You had to show this to me.
Yeah, oh my God.
Dude, I'm old. I don't...
There's this thing called the internet. And they on here, they share pornography and memes and stuff about movies. And that's about it. You looking it up? Yeah. But yeah, yeah, I forgot a lot about the video games too, because I played Fallout 3 and I played Fallout New Vegas.
Unimpressed.
Have you seen that
listeners,
one?
I showed him the meme and he's never seen that one.
No,
never seen by it.
No.
All right.
Sir, you need to get on social media more.
Do I?
Yes. No. You're missing out.
CJ, there's this thing called reality where I have to work a job.
Nah, sounds dumb.
feed my children. Pick my battles in terms of what I'm going to spend my free time doing. Scrolling the internet for memes and pornography is not one of them. Well, one of those is not one of them.
Yeah, you're not.
Hey-o! It's a memes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I played it too, but it's been...
A while.
A while.
But you started picking up on things that you remembered.
I mean, the set design is what I enjoyed more about it. Because it was very true to the video game, like the art style, everything, the art direction in total was, I feel like was spot on. The dialogue and the characters I felt were really good interpretations. I mean, this wasn't a story from a video game. It's just it's a story in that world. Okay. I thought the dialogue they had for the characters and the character development and everything was pretty good. It felt, I mean, you had the weird shit happening, but it felt, I guess, organic in a sense to that world. And also to the video game, to where if you were playing a video game and you see the stuff happening in the show, like, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah. Yep.
What'd you think?
The art direction, production design definitely stood out. It was so... I don't want to say off-putting, but it stood out because it's this weird thing where it was set in the future, but it was using like 1950s artifacts as like the mechanism where you would experience life. Like the TV sets looked like they were from the 50s, mm-hmm. and the dress and all that stuff. And when they would shoot a movie or something, it's like 1950s technology, but then you look in the background and it's like a 2070 skyline,
mm-hmm.
with like, I don't know, spaceships isn't the word, but you would see like futuristic design aircraft and
retro futurism. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. It was just weird.
Yeah. I love it.
It's great. I loved it too.
I thought the coolest part about it was the details and the design. Like they have the advertisements like Nuka Coke Corporation, and the TV was called Radiation King TV, and just like little mm-hmm. stuff like that you see every day, but you might not really notice. But they went ahead and put it in the show anyways.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a great detail.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I liked it. When I say off-putting, I just mean like it gives you a sense of lack of like spatial awareness. Like mm-hmm. what time period am I in?
Anachronisms all over the place.
And, right.
Yeah.
But I think what they were trying to portray like this is just a world outside of where we live. It's just, this is like a mirror, I guess. Not necessarily like...
Yeah, it's an alternate Earth to where they discovered fusion.
Earlier
than what they were supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. But other than the set design, I thought the characters were great. I liked the story arcs of pretty much all of them. I mean, some I like more than others, but for the most part, they were all the three main arcs are really good. I love Walter Goggins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like his
awesome.
Best role.
Yeah, for sure.
By far. He's one of those weird, not weird, but one of those unique actors who can portray like, don't fuck with me. And also, I have a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's such a rare quality that some people, like Kevin Bacon can do that.
Yep.
And I only mention him because we've watched like 8 Kevin Bacon movies since we've been on this podcast.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey's another one. Yeah. But yeah,
very few people that can do the
pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
But he's awesome in it. I mean, if you're going to watch the show for anyone, it would be him.
Yeah, definitely.
His arc is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
His character is awesome.
Yeah, I kind of hope they... I mean, they're going to focus on a bunch of different characters, and I think they're just going to hop around as the series progresses. But I am surprised. I understand why they made Lucy the main character-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they explore more of the ghoul's character in the next season, the season after that, just because I feel like that is the most relatable person.
Yeah,
there is by far. Just because he was in a civilization closest to ours. And
yeah.
Lucy and Maximus feels like just a dumb dumb.
Yeah.
Sheltered. Sometimes he's an idiot. Like sometimes,
which is fine.
Yeah.
And then Lucy's kind of, I mean, she's just naive, but, and I understand, having the audience follow her along just because it helps to introduce the world and everything else to the audience. But yeah, I hope we get more of the ghoul's backstory, because I enjoyed the show a lot. It wasn't, I wasn't like gung ho for it as much, because like when it was released, everyone was like, oh my God, the best thing ever, and everything else. So I think it was built up a lot. I enjoyed it a lot. I'll watch the next seasons, but there was no emotional connection. It felt very passive. And I don't know if that was just because from playing the video game, or if it was just I didn't connect as much. I connected more to the ghoul than anybody else.
Yeah, me too.
And so I hope they explore that more, because but getting a very passive feeling from this season, I think, serviced the show better, because there's a lot of batshit stuff that happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally acceptable. I mean, it doesn't frame it as being absurd like American Horror Story does. Mm-hmm. It feels like it fits, but then also the fuck am I getting at?
I'm trying to be really deep. No, I just keep getting lost in my thoughts.
It pops into my head, and then I forget what the fuck my whole point of it is. It doesn't try to be more than what it is. Like, it doesn't try to be preachy.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't try to be too smart. Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's just focused on telling a good story.
And it's entertainment.
Yeah.
And but it's entertaining in a very well done way.
Absolutely.
And that's what I like about it. I want more character moments or emotional moments, because I think the opening of the show, the first like 5-10 minutes of the first episode, I thought was probably one of the best opening scenes I've seen since Star Trek 2009. But yeah.
Star Trek 2009, the movie?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the opening scene was in that.
You had Thor, who was
Kirk's
father.
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah, I remember now.
Because I remember seeing that in theaters, that whole opening scene. Did you see it, Coop?
Tiberius. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he's getting all the people off the ship.
Wait, you're giving credit to J.J. Abrams right now?
That's the only good thing he's done. is 10 minutes in Star Trek.
That's it.
The first 10 minutes. But I remember seeing it in theaters, and like that whole opening sequence, and then the title card comes on. I was like, oh God damn. I was like, that's
that
fucking
was a good intro.
Good.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the whole movie was good, but that intro was money, and the intro to Fallout, I kind of got the same vibes from.
Yeah.
And especially after telling the story to his girl, like, oh, with a whole thumb over the mushroom cloud, like, oh, and if it's bigger than your thumb, you might as well just not run.
Yeah.
But then the fact that it's definitely bigger than your thumb,
right,
and he's still running, because obviously because his daughter's there or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And she said something pretty heartbreaking too. She said, bigger than your thumb or my thumb? And it's like her naivete as as a child, you know, it's just like, oh my God, sweetie, it doesn't matter at this point, you know, but of course as a child.
And then they cut away to the actual explosion, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, fuck.
Great opening.
It is.
But that's what I wanted, like, because that set up the whole thing. I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then there was really no emotional moment that I, for me, that ramped up to that. And I hope they kind of put more of those into the second season.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you. I like how they, it's very well written. I like the fact that they have a character who's naive, who's not part of the Fallout world, in Lucy, a character who is naive that is a part of the Fallout world, in Maximus.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the ghoul who's experienced everything.
Yeah, all, omniscient. Yeah.
And is just like, listen, this is the way it is. And you're all naive. You just don't. But then I like how the series progress, and he starts to learn things here and there about the world that maybe he doesn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great. Great.
Nope.
Great execute. I like the fact that it's hard enough to get one character's arc, but they have three going that I think are pretty well. Maximus, not as much. His arc's okay, but I just don't enjoy it as much as Lucy or the ghouls.
They did an excellent job of introducing a lot of characters and having them all have good backgrounds, good stories. And like you said, some are better than others. I like some more than others. But they're all still pretty solid, you know?
Yeah, I never went like, oh, great, now I'm going to...
Right now I have to watch this.
I have to watch Maximus,
right?
I don't really care. I never had that moment. Yeah. But actually, Maximus has got a little bit better. I didn't like him at the first four episodes. I'm like, this guy's
I was like, is he a dumbass? But then there's like a combat situation and he like executes, you know, mm-hmm. and he directs other people. It's like, okay, this guy does have his shit together. And then it's like... 10 minutes later, he's like, no, what is sex? What is a girl? Like, what the fuck? Where is this guy going? Who is this guy?
I wasn't a fan of him at the beginning either, because I was watching it. I think it was like first three episodes I was watching. I was like, this is fucking Finn. This is Finn from Star Wars. The exact, let's take a black guy and he's part of this military organization. And I guess he breaks away from it. And he meets this brunette girl that is the hero of the story.
Yeah.
And he's in love with her. And so he's going to start doing everything for her. And that's where I thought it was going.
It's very good. Comparison.
Then it kind of veered off after that. And I was like, okay. And that's when it was more enjoyable. Like when he started becoming really stupid and showing his naivete. Is when I liked it more.
Yeah, me too. Because I didn't like the fact that he was fucking people over, like his best friend, so he could get the apprenticeship by putting that razor or whatever in her boot.
Yeah, but he didn't do that.
Yeah, he didn't do it.
He did it? Who did it?
She did it.
She did it.
She did it to herself so that she didn't have to take the assignment.
I missed it up.
And even
I didn't catch that.
Even at the beginning, they didn't reveal that till the end, but even before then, she came to his defense and said he wouldn't hurt a fly.
Right.
And because it makes you think that he did it, but I mean, you could tell that he didn't. Just, he doesn't have that
bone in his body.
Try and like he has self-preservation, but he doesn't have I'm gonna step on other people to get what I want.
Yeah,
because
maybe I missed that. I just missed it.
The
it was towards the yeah, it was towards
because
the
when he starts playing up like he's Titus, Knight Titus, and the other kid is his squire, he tells him he wants to tell him the truth, but then when he finds out, oh my god, he's gonna kill me, that's when he like steps on his foot or like tries to stop
him. Yeah.
It's more self-preservation stuff, kind of like a Lenny. Lenny from Of Mice and Men a little bit.
Yeah. That's another piece of it where I'm like, okay, he wants to be open with that guy, and then he's like, oh god, you had to have known that
it was gonna backfire. Yeah.
So if it doesn't work out, you're gonna kill this kid.
And I guess to his credit,
come on,
to his credit, there was like when he was like changing his whatever, his filter or whatever, he's like, yeah, you know, this guy, we used to pick on him, but he was a good guy. We were just waiting for it. Like, I think that kind of endeared him to the press. So that made him feel like he could open up to the kid and talk to him. But obviously, she still don't do it, but he plays into his naivete.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But again, I warmed up to him towards the end. He started to grow on me a little bit towards the end of it.
Yeah. I wonder, where do you guys think will happen to him in the second season?
See, this is the thing. It's been a week since I saw the finale.
So
I know that Lucy went with the ghoul.
Lucy went with the ghoul to go find her father and to also help the ghoul search for the lead for his family.
The controller, who's actually pulling the strings.
Yeah. And And then...
And Maximus ended
Maximus wakes up. Dane, who is the chick that put her foot in the razor blades or whatever, she's like, oh, Knight so-and-so, or like leader of the... He's like, oh, Knight Maximus or whatever. And he's like, no. I have a feeling she is going to be playing him to whatever. She's going to be like manipulating him and being a puppet master for his character.
Because he ended up killing... They thought that he ended up killing
the leader, right? The leader of the
Resistance.
Yeah, the North California, New California Republic.
That's right.
Something.
They all thought that he killed Moldaver. Moldaver. Yeah. Lee Moldaver. Yeah, okay. I'm back on it now. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, probably. But why would she do that again?
Well, for him to be a lightning rod, or for her to get what she wants out of life.
If he does well, she can ride his coattails. Yeah. If he does bad, then fuck him.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not her problem.
You've never manipulated people before?
A person into power in a post-apocalyptic.
Wait, I need to get into this mindset of fucking people over. I haven't been there before. All right. Yeah.
What did you guys think about the vault 31, 32, 33?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty wild.
It's cool, but I was trying to understand. So what's the mechanism of them? So are they in cryo sleep in 31? So and then when they need a new
vault
overseer, 30, they unfreeze them and then.
And bring them into 31.
So how do they know what to do? Is it just because it's like downloaded into their thoughts or something?
So
what to do?
That I don't know, but all those people were frozen back before the bomber, right when the bomb happened.
Yeah.
So they're all the leaders of that of Tech. What was it? Sorry,
yeah,
it was,
Vault Tech.
Of Vault Tech. They're all the executives.
And that's
Vault
how
Tech.
Lucy's dad
and
looks so young.
They just release them once every however many years, whenever they need another one. Same deal with Vault 32. They had a separate vault where they would also release an executive into there, and they had two populations going, and they would trade, and basically they're trying to breed a group of leaders for so that when they emerge,
a group of automatons
there will be these automaton leaders.
Yeah. And then Moldaver broke into 32, right? And that's what started this whole thing. And she,
well, they, so,
right.
So that was the overpop. So every vault has a different test, right?
Yeah.
So that was the over. And when they're sitting around the round table, when Goggins is like listening to his wife,
yeah.
And they're like, well, what are we going to do with the people in the vault? One of the guys says, well, what if we do like the rat test where everything's plush, everything's given to them, everybody's fat and happy. Well, eventually you can't live like that forever. Right. So they wind up eating each other. And that's what happened in Vault 32. And that's why when they walk in there, you see like a bunch of skeletons, like holding each other's throat. Like they killed it. Like finally, the resources ran out, and so they just started killing each other.
Right. Okay.
And so then the rebels came in somehow, got into Vault 32
after the fact.
Hung out there.
Rebels got in because of
Lucy's mom.
Yeah, Lucy's mom.
That's right. Oh, so how did Moldaver stay so young? Was she cryogenically frozen for a while?
Don't know.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Okay. Good. So it just didn't go over my head. I'm like, did they explain that?
But yeah, no, they don't. Because
she's not a part. She's not one of the people in 31 that are waiting to be unfrozen. And
no, she was. Well, because she was. She was the leader of that group that was trying to
infiltrate the Vault Tech in the first place.
Yeah. Because she's sold all of her technology to that company, and so I imagine she was either cryo frozen or, I mean, that, or she's a ghoul that.
Yeah.
Didn't.
The ungouled?
Yeah, the ungouled or something. I don't know.
Ungouled or so. Ungoul yourself.
But yeah. I would assume that she was cryogenically frozen.
Okay. Hopefully they'll explain more of that.
Yeah.
See, this is why this series is good. They leave these open questions open.
Well, and there, and there's, you're kind of like trying to place together three timelines, right? Like there's the pre-bomb era with Goggins.
Yeah.
There's the
intermediary.
Shady Sands timeline.
Which is after the bomb.
But before Lucy's thing. Yeah. So you're kind of.
But during
all the,
Maximus.
But all these people will get squashed together.
Because Maximus was part of that shady whatever community.
Well, he was the kid. He was just a child.
He was just a child.
And he got saved. And that's what made him want to join the ranks of the.
Right.
The
what is it? The Brotherhood of.
The Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood of Machines. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
We really did our research.
I'm sure that one guy at that one place,
that one group, you know.
They get the idea. That's
what Buds was. That guy who kept saying Buds. It's an executive training management program to where that's what he was training them for. He was training all of them how to be overseers at vaults. And so now they're all frozen. And
gotcha. I did like the direction that it went, though. You thought it was like warring countries.
Yeah.
It's actually corporations that have captured the government. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm like, yes.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Which, if you put your nerd hat on, because when I was taking a break from looking at memes and pornography, I was looking at...
I would have just had a third tab open.
Multitask.
Only one tab. They were talking about Fallout New Vegas, and somebody with the show said Fallout New Vegas was canon, and because that was made by a different gaming studio. Bethesda did Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 and Fallout 1 and 2, I believe. But they did not do New Vegas. New Vegas, which they teased at the end of this show, you see
Vegas,
the skyline,
skyline and everything. In New Vegas, it is said that there's a character called, I think it's Mr. House, and it's like this AI and just computer that has history and everything else. And you learn that he makes a statement in the video game that says, "The war started 1 month before my prediction," and of when China dropped the bombs 1 month before they were supposed to. But then you find out in the show that it was created by corporations to where they probably just did it a month ahead of time, or was building up the war so much that, I mean, they kind of retroactive or what are they, what's that word? I don't know. They did a good job writing the show into that kind of storyline, and I'm sure they had the whole timeline worked out or whatever.
Like retrofitting it?
Yeah, retrofitting it to where, oh, we're going to say corporations do it, but it still works out as canon as far as everything else that's happened before, so we're not rewriting anything that the video games have done.
Right.
Which is an interesting concept, because most video game adaptations, like The Last of Us, Super Mario did their own story pretty much, but video game adaptations, they typically follow whatever story was in the video game, as opposed to this is better because you can do other story. You can do a bunch of different
things. Yeah.
And I thought Fallout was going to be an anthology show to where each season would be a character from a different vault and a different place in the country or the world. Right. And it would just be one of those shows that, oh, let's watch Fallout, and it's each season's own self-contained, like Fargo,
kind of like Black Mirror,
Fargo, and or True Detective or whatever. But
yeah, I like this direction though. I want to follow the. I mean, I don't want to watch Fallout without Walter Goggins down.
No. He's gonna be he'll be a staple character, man, for sure.
He's awesome.
Should have had him just be like the Hulk, or like Kung Fu, like those stories to where you just have the Wanderer.
Yeah.
It's like every season, just like Mad Max, pretty people. Much. Like yeah. Each.
That was cool. Well, I was trying to understand the guy from Lost. I can't remember that actor's name, but he had his head cut off because he had the nuclear fission in his in his head. Mm-hmm. You know, they follow his head for like 7 episodes. That facility where they were experimenting, was that facility run by the corporations and then just doing their own experiments or something, or was that?
I think that was the Enclave.
Yeah, I think that
was the Brotherhood.
No. There's the Brotherhood and there's the Enclave.
Yeah, there's the Brotherhood, the Enclave, and then there's the NCR.
What's the Enclave again?
I don't know.
Okay, what's the NCR?
New California.
New
Republic.
California Republic.
Okay. That's Mol Dave.
Yeah, that's Mol Dave. So you find out that's the organization she's a part of, and then the Enclave is where the scientists came from. With
is that where the corporations head up? That are running the whole show, making all these decisions.
I don't think that was
not established.
I think it was.
I think they're still in the vaults. I think they're still Vault Tech.
Yeah, Vault Tech is
like the corporation is still
from all, the video games. Vault Tech was just the corporation that had all the vaults, and I think they've expanded on Vault Tech more in the show than what they did in the games. In the game, it's like, oh, you're Vault Tech Pip-Boy. And it was very corporate, and it felt like the only corporate presence was in the vaults. The Enclave felt like its own thing. The Brotherhood felt... They're just different factions of people that have tried to form some kind of semblance of government in the past. But... and then in New Vegas, you get into, there's like different, like Mr. House is an organization. There are like different gangs and everything else.
Around, right. But. So if Moldaver gets this nuclear fission technology with infinite power, what's the next step after that? Is it to take down Voltech?
I think she's trying to just pull the world out of,
She's trying to get, because
out of the middle ages, or I guess, out of this,
she turns it on, lights start popping up in the city. I think, that was her main goal.
That was her goal from the beginning, was to give people free energy. And that's why Vault-Tec bought up every, because she makes the comment in the show, they bought every company that I ever worked for, trying to get her ideas and her intellectual properties so that they could basically warehouse it and then charge everybody for atomic energy.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
So maybe now she's pissed off and is going to use it for revenge or something. I don't know.
Well, she tried it already with the shady, was that
shady? Yeah, Shady Sands.
Right, and they blew that to hell.
And she's dead.
She died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, the next step after getting this how are you going to prevent another Vault-Tec bomb from blowing up your community that you want to pull from the Stone Ages?
Mm-hmm.
Something you have to think of. Just saying. What's your next step here?
Maybe we'll find out in season two.
Maybe. Hope they do. That's why it's so good. You have so many avenues that you could go down to explain.
I like the cameos. I love Fred Armiston.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot.
And I could... I mean, I didn't look this up. I probably could have when the squire goes to the radio station and Fred Armiston's like, I love the high notes and the low notes and the midtones. It's like, yeah, the midtones. And he's like, yeah, there, the midtones. While the music is just fucking hilarious. And he had to put booby traps up to keep people from killing him for playing the music that he was playing.
Which is nice, because in the games you can tune your Pip-Boy to
different radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
No, that's cool.
And then Chris Parnell was in it all, is the one-eyed guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So funny. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Because that was Vault 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were just mutating people just to see what would happen.
They were survivors. I think they were survivors, right? They let into the vault.
Yeah. Well,
I believe.
If you remember Walton Goggins, when he did his one of his commercials for Vault-Tec, he's like, oh, these are two scientists bringing their family to live in a vault to have the great experiment of what would happen if a society was run by scientists. That's that vault. So that's what happens there. And obviously it did not go well, but that was Vault 4.
But
that's like half the fun too of playing the game, because if you come across a vault and like reading the computer and everything else trying to figure out what their experiment was. I think there was one of the games like there's a vault of Gary's. They're just clones of this guy named Gary. And you're walking through and it's creepy because all you hear in the hallway is like, Gary. And it's just these guys fucking killing each other. Like, Gary.
That is pretty good.
It's like every office in America. Just a room full of Gary's. I liked the scene where they go to the organ harvest clinic or whatever, and it's like two dudes like from a scene out of Idiocracy. Yeah, they're just like sitting there watching TV.
Yeah,
I don't know that one.
Couple stoners.
I said all of them out. He's like, I don't think you understand.
No, we don't. We don't let that one out. No, you don't.
Like there's no, I love it. They're just monotone the whole time. Yeah. Nothing would get them
excited.
They
don't emphasize anything to explain, like try to get her attention. Like, listen, this is not a good idea.
They can't even be bothered to lift their head up off the couch, to do anything. Or it's hilarious.
Yeah, that is funny.
Which the Armatron or automaton that is there with the harvesting. I'm gonna harvest your organs.
I'm just gonna harvest your organs.
Matthew Berry.
That's who does the voice?
Yeah. Which he was in, like, he was
in, he's the in a scene.
Yeah, he was in a scene.
That's the What We Do in the Shadows, right?
Yeah.
That guy?
And Toast of London. The best. One of the best TV shows.
Toast of London?
Yes.
Yeah. Never seen it.
It's just, it is so stupid.
Yeah, never seen it.
But it's just absurdist British comedy.
Yeah.
And
that's right down your alley.
Oh God. It should still be on Netflix. Like it got a second life. It was on from like 2011, 2014, but highly recommend watching it. Just watch it. Just, I'm talking to you, Coop.
I'll watch it.
It's three seasons. Quick.
You said it's on Netflix.
I think so.
Okay. I'll find it.
Just find Toast of London.
Yeah. All right. If I don't like it, I'm coming to you.
It's so good.
We know where you live.
but yeah, he's in it. Love Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Buds.
Mm-hmm.
Bud is the brain in the little remote control car. Like when
Bolt 31.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he goes into the
vault. Trapped by the mop handle.
And he gets stuck and he's like trying to stab him. Like Bud is the brain that's in that
Bud
thing.
I don't remember Bud.
So
Buds.
The guy who like came up with the idea to like cryo freeze everybody. Yeah, yeah. That's his brain in that little thing, in that little fish.
He went up to Walton Goggins in the flashbacks when he's like, "Hey, I'm a huge fan." And it's like, this is that guy that Walton was like,
"Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." Like I don't want to talk to him again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I remember.
Yeah, because he referenced the executive training program, and that's what he was heading up or whatever.
Yeah,
but.
Which is kind of funny how he seemed that the fact that they would that he would be the one organizing and unfreezing.
Yeah, because he's like a throwaway character. Like,
a little
you don't
bit,
even
and he's like,
about, yeah.
Like he can't, if a mop handle is preventing him from getting out of this like corner, how is he going to unfreeze the next person and keep this train rolling here?
I didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's something I like that scene too, when he was listening in on their meeting, and. Because you're always wondering, like, well, how did him and
his
wife have a falling out? Like, oh, it's probably because he doesn't trust her, and so he's going to spy on her. She's going to catch him, and you think that's what's going to cause it to where it's going to be hit? No, she's just an evil fucking
bitch. Yeah, she is the problem. Yeah.
And like, oh, my God. Like, oh, you're a horrible person. Yeah. I was like, oh, I get
it. He even makes the comment. They're saying all that crazy shit around the table, and he goes, all right, babe, set them straight.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's drop the nuke. He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Let's drop the nuke. Yeah.
Which I'm sure they'll expand more on that because they want you to hate her now.
Oh,
to where
sure.
Next season, I'm sure they're going to be like, well, it was going this direction anyways, and it was either protect who I could protect
or not,
and then we'd all be fucked kind of thing.
Right.
But,
one of those things, do you want me to not be on the side where we're not
So
going to get exploded by a giant nuclear weapon?
My curiosity for the next season has she gone to some other faraway place, or is she in Vault 31? Is she one of the executives that got caught that got frozen and has been sleeping next to Lucy, 20 feet away or whatever?
Yeah. What happened? They never did say what happened. Did they say what happened to his daughter after they ran away at the? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
I don't think she's ever mentioned again.
He just said, he's like, there was a comment that he made in the last episode. He's like, I'm going to ask you what I ask everyone I come across that knows is like, where the fuck is my family?
Yeah.
And so I assume something happened since he rides off with her at the very beginning of the show when the bombs are dropping. I'm assuming he knows that they're alive or safe or somewhere.
Right, right. Because he went somewhere.
Yeah. And he's been looking for him for 200 years or whatever. So.
Yeah. That's what keeps him going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole time I was like, why would you even, what's keeping you going? 200 years, like, dude, I would just, like, why?
Just end it.
Just
fucking
end it.
Let yourself turn into a zombie and be done with it.
Or just, I don't know, just poof, right in the face. I don't know.
Yeah.
Makes sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one of my favorite lines in the whole series, and this is probably my favorite video game reference, is when they're talking about the golden rule. And do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And then the ghoul says, well, up here, honey, the wasteland has a different golden rule. And she's like, what's that? She's like, thou shalt be distracted by a random bullshit every step of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And
here you go. I wrote it down because I liked it so much. She says, thou shalt get sidetracked by bullshit every goddamn time.
Yeah. I love that. Just because side quests in video games. Yeah. It's like those are half the time more fun than what doing the main story.
Yeah. I love that scene. I mean, it was funny too. Every episode had like a funny moment.
There was something funny,
When Lucy comes across that guy who's got this like house and he's doing yard work or something.
Oh no, he's fixing the filter.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, he's like, I keep putting sand in it, but no water comes out. She goes, did you try putting water in it instead of sand? He's like, oh, God, you got a really good idea. You're smart.
You want to live with me? This could all be yours.
I'm not going to last too long.
She walks away. Thanks for not shooting me with that gun you got.
You're welcome. Yeah. Now, and there was an episode where two guys are fighting. I think Maximus comes in to like break it up. And he breaks it up. And the guy's like, thank you. It's the guy who heals the squire's foot in a later episode. He's like, oh, man.
I'm a doctor.
I mean, the guy was fucking my chickens.
Oh, yeah.
And Maximus is like,
what?
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny stuff, man. Good writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
I hope it. I hope the quality at least maintains, if not improves, because Westworld season one.
I know it was great.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then season two was.
It progressively got worse.
Yes. Yeah.
Season three was okay. We're out of Westworld.
Season three, I think I was in like two or three episodes. I was like, I don't give a fuck about this.
Yeah, I know.
Well, at one point they kind of gleamed Japan. What era am I thinking of, Jay?
Samurai.
Yeah.
World. Yeah, and that was in season two. They referenced it, I think.
They kind of showed it. Or they showed the samurai or a horse in armor or something like that. And
in the office area or something, to where you're like, oh, there's other worlds.
Right.
And
I thought that we were going to get to see that world for a little bit.
But you don't. Did, I think, in season two.
Okay.
And
maybe a flat.
It doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just sucks.
I remember being disappointed. I remember seeing that and getting excited, and then it played out, and I was just very disappointed.
Yeah. But I will say season one of Westworld, I feel like I was more excited for Westworld after season one than I am for Fallout of season one. Not that Fallout season one wasn't good, but it was the first season of Westworld, like with the twist and everything else, was just awesome. And I think maybe that was probably detrimental to the success because everyone wanted that good of a show.
How you
again.
That up? Yeah.
How do you top that type of deal? Yeah.
Which you don't. You just be like, oh, lying. It's a limited series. That's it.
Yeah.
One
story.
You don't
have to top it. Just keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And so that's what I hope they do with Fallout, is they just keep it consistent.
Keep it consistent, yeah.
And it doesn't fall off.
Yeah.
Yep. Kind of like The Boys. Just keep it consistent. Okay. Yeah. Each season's fairly consistent.
Yep.
Yeah. Hope so. I liked it. It's my favorite TV show so far this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yep.
Might be the best thing I've seen all year so far. I'm just not saying much. It's only about 4 months into the year, but it's probably my favorite thing I've seen this year.
I forget when I saw Dune 2.
I like this more than Dune 2.
Do you really?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why?
Well, a TV show versus movie.
Yeah.
Oh, they're both the same length.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're both 8 hours.
I just want to sit in front of a TV and have an excuse to be there for the entire day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yep.
I recommend it.
I recommend
Even
it
if
too.
You're not a video game person, it's still entertaining.
You don't need to play the video game to enjoy it.
Nope. No. They do a good job of introducing everything. I just hope season two, Deathclaws, and Super Mutants.
Yeah, I did. I read up a little bit about the video game, and there was a blurb about how super mutants haven't been introduced into the Fallout show world yet.
they're going to amp it up.
We'll see. Yeah, so that gives us another element that they get to add in later, I think.
So many experiments.
Yeah.
Which I think they could do, because like these super mutants are these big fucking things. And I think it'd be great, because you already have a couple of characters that are already dumb. But like if you just have a super mutant that's just like the dumbest. I mean, I guess it would probably turn too much similar to like the Hulk in the first Avengers movie or whatever, but just somebody like, hey, go kill, and it'd be entertaining, feel like, but that would be more of if they were all traveling together in a weird pack. You have the ghoul who's like just trying to be the dad to keep everybody in line, and then you got horny Lucy and always banging Maximus. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then you got this giant freaking super mutant that just shits the size of a Buick.
Well, I think the impossible happened. I did not think that anyone could have bigger eyes than Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
But what's her name? Ella Purnell plays Lucy. I've never seen eyes that massive.
She looks like a marionette.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's beautiful, but it's she is just has some unique features.
Yeah. Huge eyes.
Yeah.
Huge eyes.
It's a Disney.
Yeah.
It's by probably,
the Disney clone, is that what it is?
Which I think helps in her case, because I mean, usually they draw bigger eyes on characters to show innocence and everything else. And
absolutely,
helps for the thing. But I heard they actually did surgery around her eyes to actually make them larger than what they actually
are. Perfect.
Because
way to commit to the role.
I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
Is that serious?
No.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Jesus.
All right. Anything else?
No.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, join us next time. Ryan Gosling has a new movie coming out next weekend, The Fall Guy, which we will not be talking about. We went from, because we don't have time, we went from, oh, I kind of want to see The Fall Guy, to, well, let's do The Nice Guys. Similar thing, comedy, stars Ryan Gosling. And then that eventually led to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So we're going to watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and talk about that next week, because The Fall Guy is coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
So. And if you haven't seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, we all recommend it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We will be. Is it really that good? Spoiler, it is.
Yeah.
You don't even have to listen next week. It's
more of a, what's bad about this movie?
Yeah. Let's tear
it.
It's
going to be tough.
Tear it down.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Rip it apart.
I just wanted an excuse to watch a movie that I like.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's what this whole podcast is. Just us watching movies we like.
Yeah. Let's watch that.
All right. Yeah. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yep.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Matt.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Jay.
Till next time, Matt.
Till next time, Jay.